Yes, but I don't do it on my own. I know I don't do it on my own.
Woohoo.
Hello there.
It's me.
G'day, buddy. How are you? Someone wrote me an email and said, Dear Luke, I love your sidekick, Jess. And I wrote back saying, she would consider me her sidekick. Who decides?
Correct.
Who decides who is Batman and who is Robin? Because life is like that with some people. There's always a Batman and there's always a Robin. Who decides who's who?
I don't know. It's just a personality thing. But look, between you and I, yeah, I'm running it.
I know you are. Happy Friday, mate.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
I have had so many comments about your little dog, Leo.
No.
Little dash hound, little man that came into your house. We talked about animals early this week. We talked to Kayleen Wynn, who's a huge animal fan. We talked about animals for therapy. And I'm not talking about trained animals. I'm talking about everyday families and everyday people, how an animal can make your life better. And we had a good response.
Yeah, we had a massive response. I think as well, and we did touch on this earlier in the week, with lockdown, I think people are really appreciating their pets more than usual and having the time at home with them. And when times are tough, they're just always happy. It's great to be around.
We had a very interesting conversation about animals with our resident psychotherapist, Kayleen Wynn. And if I get time, Jess, I'll replay a little bit of that interview this morning because it is Friday and we like to recap. But for those who missed it, it's on our podcast.
That's right. It is. So please download it. Make sure you listen to everything over the weekend.
I want to ask again today, Friday, has an animal of any sort changed your life? Do you think that employers, as people slowly start going back to work in the office, should employers instigate or install some sort of a pet at work policy? Or if your colleagues had a pet at work, would it drive you mad? I wonder how it would go if you took a national survey, Jess.
I think it depends on the workplace. I mean, not every building or space can facilitate that. You know, you've got to have the right flooring, enough doors so pets can go outside and do their business. You've got to have enough ventilation. Where are they going to drink? Where are they going to eat? Is it all sanitary? Who's cleaning up after them? There's a lot to think about. I don't know if it's for every workplace.
Would your workplace work better if you had a pet there, if you had your dog? Now, my boy Jacob, as I've told you this story 100 times, he and his girlfriend, nearly 3 years ago, they moved in together. They were playing families. And I said to him, what did I say to him, Jess? What did I say?
Don't get a dog, especially if you break up and end up in an apartment.
What did he do?
He got a dog and moved into an apartment.
And so, anyway, the dog spends all day with me. And that's fine because we have a big yard. We have our border collie, Barney. I'm at home all day. Nikki's at home all day now. And the dog has constant company. And it works out really well. But he didn't think it through, did he? And he's a tradie. And he thought, oh, I'll be able to take my dog to the work site like the other tradies do. Well, his boss said, no, some of my clients don't want a dog, especially one that big. It's a huge dog. So he didn't think it through. But should there be a policy on pets in the workplace? We want to know your thoughts. 133353 is the number.
I think it would be great. I think it's an amazing idea. We just got to do it right.
Yeah. I've got a question for Dr. Carl this Wednesday. I want you to take a note and remind me. You ready for this? You may have noticed I've been speaking a little bit. Well, I do speak strangely. I have for someone who talks for a living in radio, it's a bit of an infliction that I can't say some words, and I've been struggling even further this week because I bit my tongue, the side
How?
Of my...
Eating? Yep, happens.
I bit the side of my tongue, and now I've bitten it about four or five more times just while talking. And so I'm trying to avoid my tongue from reaching that part of my mouth, and therefore I'm saying some words in a very, very funny way.
That's all right.
It sounds like I've had a stroke. But we have been eating ever since we've been weaned. Humans have been chewing food for most of their lives. So you would have thought, Jess, it's something we'd gotten pretty good at. You know, when you do something over and over, you get pretty good at it, correct?
You do, but I guess it's just a coordination thing, like with anything. Sometimes you walk and your ankle just goes the other way and nothing.
Yeah, but there could be a lump.
No one knows why.
There could be a pothole, or there could be some uneven ground.
Yeah, well, sometimes I just walk and things move, you know?
Yeah,
sometimes the ankle goes left, sometimes it goes right, sometimes the foot slips backward and nothing.
Yeah, no, but have you tried giving up the drink? Just try.
No, I haven't. So that is the next step.
That's your next step. Can I just say that? Give up the alcohol and that might make you work a bit better. But how is it that some, if you've been eating all your life, how can you possibly bite your tongue when you're eating? How can that happen?
I just think it's a coordination thing and it sucks because it takes a while to heal.
Anyway, so that's a question for Dr. Carl. Can you please make a note for me? The other thing is, this netball team in Queensland, it's a boys under 18 netball team. They have won the Queensland under 18 netball titles. Apparently they tried to join an all boys comp and there wasn't one. So they formed their own team. And the Netball Association said, sure, they thought that the boys would get whooped every game. Well, they didn't. And they went through and they won the under 18 netball titles. No one said a word until they started winning this game, and they were winning pretty emphatically. They won the final 46-12 in netball. That's a flogging. And the parents of the girls, the parents of the other team, started yelling out vile comments. Is this sports equality gone wrong? Should the boys have been allowed to play? How come there was only a fuss in the grand final? Your thoughts. You've played netball.
Well, from reading the story, they legitimately joined the competition early on and everyone knew about it.
Yep.
It's not like it was a last-minute thing. So the way that I heard the story being presented, it was as if it was a last-minute ring-in. They quickly entered the comp, you know, maybe with four games to go, and so there was this big backlash. But no, they've been there since the beginning, and everyone's known about this team, and everyone's agreed, and it's all been above board. So I just feel like because they've won, it's now getting all this attention and everyone's unhappy about it. Why weren't people complaining when they joined the competition?
That was my point. When I looked at the videos of the grand final, and you can see there's a shot there, Jess, on the story, where they're all gathered in a circle with their arms around each other, both teams giving three cheers. There's no height advantage for the boys. They were the same. Yeah, they were the same height as the girls. So there was no height advantage. So, and netball, I've had all my girls have played netball, and I know how tough the rules are, especially the contact rules. So those rules would have been enforced very, very vigorously. So what advantage did the boys have over the girls?
Well, I just think all of these things were assessed prior. Obviously, this was all discussed. Obviously, I assume coaches and parents would have been consulted or informed. And now we just don't really have anything else to talk about. It's a slow news week, so let's just blow up this story. That's really what I think.
I'll tell you a story. This is fair dinkum. And the photo is on our man cave wall. Have I shown you the photo of Nikki's under-14 Manly rep basketball team?
No.
Haven't I sent you that photo?
I don't think so.
Okay, it's on my phone somewhere, but I'll take a new one and I'll send it to you. Anyway, Nikki played, mind you, she was number 10 off the bench. She was nowhere near a starting five. But anyway, she was in the team. And it was the under-14 girls Manly Warringah rep basketball team.
Yeah.
Nikki's born a year before me. She's 7 months older than me. I was in the men's under-13 rep basketball team. And as a training run, we got badge referees and my team played Nikki's team in a proper game. They flogged us.
Yep.
We went in there. Nikki talks about it to this day to anyone that will listen. And I actually found her old basketball photo and I've blown it up and put it on the man cave wall because it's such a good talking point. They absolutely flogged us. We went in there thinking we're going to kick this. This is going to be such a, and they just absolutely flogged us. They happened to have one star player in there. They had a number of star players. But then outstanding number one star player, when I send you the photo, you'll see the girl on the back row is about half an inch taller than the coach. The coach's name is Kevin Lawson. He was my high school coach. He went on to become my high school coach. He was about my height. The girl that's about an inch taller than him at the age of 13 is one Karen Dalton, who went on to play and who went on to play for Australia at 3 Olympics in a row, played with the Flames, coached the Flames. I mean, she was in that team. Anyway, they were the under 14 girls rep team, and they enrolled in the Manly First Division Women's Comp so that they could play together for training. They went right through to the semi-finals undefeated, and these were 14-year-old kids, and there was a protest. And the other teams protested.
What?
Yeah. And the other teams protested saying that they were too young and they were disqualified from taking part in the rest of the comp. They went through.
So hold on. At what game did they start protesting? How far into the competition?
When they made the major semi-final.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's not too different to this story, is it?
But that was women complaining against women. And they.
But I'm saying when it comes to the end, people start to kick up.
Yep.
They don't make noise early on.
Yep. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll have a look at my phone when I've got a song on. I've got the Counting Crows coming up. I'll see if I've got the photo. I'll send it to you and you can put it on our Facebook page. It's black and white, obviously. It was an unbelievable basketball team. And, they went through the women's A-grade first division competition undefeated up until the major semi-final. Oh, I found it. I'll send it to you in the break.
All right. I'll have to get Nikki to tell me that story.
And it's a true story. Now, Nikki is bottom row, second from the left. And you'll see Karen Dalton is in the middle up the back, number 14. Have a look at the coach on the far right. His name was Kevin Lawson. He's passed away now. He was my high school basketball coach. He's about the same height as me. Have a look at this team. And these are the under-14s. They were unbelievable. Put it up on our Facebook page, okay?
Will do.
Hey, talk to you later.
Laters.
In the meantime, I'm going to try and talk properly. I haven't had a stroke, okay?
There's nothing wrong with talking like that anyway, if you did.
This is a night shift.
Triple M.